Hello, this is Roy Thomas, and you're listening to the Power Cosmic Podcast.
That's right, friends. You've been waiting for the podcast that talks about the things you love. Well, go no further, because you've reached the Power Cosmic Podcast. Each week, legendary Comic-Con promoter Mitch Halleck of the Terrific Con and legendary finder of lost things John Cimino of Saturday Morning Collectibles at the Raynham Flea Market, booth A89 and 90, will talk about the stuff you love. Now sit back and talk about comics, TV, movies, toys, and more. It's the Power Cosmic Podcast.
Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the Power Cosmic Podcast. I am your host, the man with the most, the extraordinary, competent, and unbelievable show promoter, Mitchell A.S. Halleck. And joining me on the other end of the phone and the microphone, you know him, you love him, you wish you could be him, but you just can't. The one, the only writer of articles that appear in Back Issue Magazine, the Jack Kirby Collector, and Alter Ego, and soon, I think it's called Retro Fun. We'll let him tell us what it is. All the way from Waltham, Massachusetts, the one and only John Cimino.
Hey, what's up, everybody? And it's not Retro Fun, it's Retro Fan.
Retro Fan. I turned that U into an A.
Okay. Well, Mitchie, I'm going to take over as host right now, and I want you to sit down, relax for a little bit. Don't get stressed out because you don't know what to say. I got something to say.
You tell me, Johnny.
Well, you did something this weekend. You had a little something going on. Just a little thing. And it was called the CT GamerCon.
It was indeed.
the bastard stepchild to Terrific Con.
Yes, it is. It is the bastard stepchild.
We heard that this little bastard was a pretty good success story for you. Why don't you tell us a little bit about it?
Well, thank you, John. Let's spread out from the world of comic books, movies, TV, and more and talk about some video games and pinball, may I add. GamerCon is an offshoot of Terrific Con. It was originally called Terrificade, but we talked about it, and not many people remember what an arcade was. So it was going to be Terrific Con and Terrificade. And I saw that when we did the video game room in the Magic the Gathering room at Terrific Con, that there was a big fan following. A lot of people liked it, wanted more of it. So I said, sure, why don't we do that? So it's always right after winter ends when everyone's cooped up around here in New England and they want to get the hell out. And it's 2 days of just that. Big room of video game tournaments with cash prizes. There's a big dealer room with people selling Funko Pops, old video games, t-shirts, movie posters. And then out in the lobby, we had some voiceover actors, we had some cosplayers, we had some live music, and we had pinball machines and arcade machines all set to free play. And for 2 days at the Mohegan Sun, while people are anxiously waiting for Terrific Con, they got to play some video games and board games, and they had a lot of fun, John. 9,600 to be exact, and we're going to just say 10,000 for shit and giggles. How about that?
And what people should understand, this is the second show of CT, but it was a big growth spurt, right?
Yeah, like I said before, people ask me, what I did last year, I was shitting bricks, as they say. I was on the edge because I'd never done a video game show before. I've done comic conventions. I knew what to expect. But I was looking at the early numbers, and there was only like 2,000 tickets sold. So I thought, oh, well, you know, we get 2,000 people. I guess that's it. I know you and I have been to plenty of conventions where 2,000 people, they would sell their firstborn child if they had that many. But to me, that would be thought of as a disaster because I've never done a convention ever where I haven't had at least 3,500 people. And that was when I used to do one-day shows. And so 2,000 was a surprise. But then the day of the show, 7,000 more people showed up. So, you know, I mean, no, I'm sorry, 6,000. So we had 8,000 last year. And then this year, I said we had another 1,600 on top of that. So, yeah, the show has continued to grow and sustain itself. And so much. Go ahead. What?
Well, I was going to throw this out there. This is the one show that makes your son Spencer happy. You got a happy Spencer.
Yes, they don't like the video games so much anymore. They like the video games. So he was... I couldn't find him all day. He was too busy playing things like Fortnite and Overwatch and Call of Duty. They were all into that. And you just made me think of something about that show. Oh, it's so popular that because then I'm moving into the new Mohegan Sun Expo Center, which is four times larger than the convention center we're currently at for all the shows, I'm going to take a section of it and turn that into a summer version of CT GamerCon. So there'll be, there'll be board games and Magic the Gathering and Dungeons and Dragons, and plus a humongous video game tournament, and folks could come in there and win that. So if you come to Terrificon and you're not into all the comic books, you could mosey on over to the back end of the Expo Center and play video games all weekend for 3 days. How about that?
Well, let me ask you this, Mickey. You're not a big game guy.
No. I mean, when I was a kid, I played this, you know, after school, waiting for to go home, I'd play the Space Invaders, I played the Pac-Man, I played the Donkey Kong. I was more of a pinball guy, you know?
Funny is, I was more of a D&D guy. I liked the D&D stuff. Yeah. I was never really that good at the video games. And did you have a lot of role-playing stuff there?
We did. We had some. We needed more of it because that was the one complaint I had from somebody, that there wasn't enough D&D and enough tabletop. So I said, okay, you know, I'm all ears. If that's what you want, I'll put more tables in next time. You never know. A lot of these things, I got to tell people, I love, you know, I told you this already. 99 people say good things. One guy says something bad. All I do is focus on the bad guy and try to make his day better because, you know, well, why wasn't he happy even though I made the 99 other guys happy. But what I was going to say is, yeah, he wants more Dungeons & Dragons. What's that?
I said, but it's a learning process. You're not.
It is. If I knew everything, I wouldn't be doing comic book conventions. I'd probably be running the country. well, that doesn't mean anything nowadays. But sure enough, it is what it is. You know, you live and learn every time, and we get better. Last year, we didn't have the sections marked off clearly, so we resolved that and fixed it. And we had more vendors. Last year, we only had like 25 vendors because people didn't want to follow Captain America to the gates of hell, but now they learned their lesson. And this year, we had 75 vendors. So word got out fast that you could make money at these shows. So, you know.
Didn't you have some raffles, too?
We did. We gave away an Xbox. We gave away... Funny story about that is Uncle Mitchie had the wrong microphone during the giveaway portion of it. So instead of having the local mic that just had the stage in front of the panel room area, I had what they call the Voice of God mic, which goes throughout the entire facility. So people got to hear my thunderous nasal-like sounding voice for a good 20 minutes when they're all looking like, does he know he's on the other microphone? So I was saying all kind of shit. So it was fun. It's fun.
Well, speaking of raffle, I'm going to throw this out there. If anybody knows where I'm at the Raynham Flea Market booth, 889 and 90, Saturday Morning Collectibles is putting on a Terrific Con raffle.
Oh.
What that is it's a $10 entrance fee where you can win a free 3-day pass. Well, not actually free, but you can put in $10, and it's an $86.25
ticket,
value. You can win a 3-day pass to the Terrific Con.
Correct. And you know what's good about my Terrificon 3-day passes? Unlike some other money-grubbing cons that we won't name around here, you get three separate tickets. When you get a 3-day pass to Terrificon, you actually get three individual tickets, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, that you could divvy up amongst your friends. So say you want to go Saturday, but you can't make it Friday and Sunday. That's all right. Well, there's no photo ID. There's none of this RFID chip nonsense bull. You could just give your friend the Sunday ticket and your other friend the Friday ticket. I don't care. So.
And another thing, too, what you try to do with the Terrificon is that every day is individual.
Yes.
It's not like Friday and Saturday are good and Sunday sucks.
No.
We specifically put people on certain days.
Yep.
If they're going to be there one day, we have them Like, they could be there on Sunday, or they could be there on Friday.
That's correct.
Or whatever it may be. We make it like every day is a new experience.
Because that's
how
right.
many shows have we been to, Mitchie, that we go to the first show, and then we somehow go to the second one, and it was like, we went for free. We don't pay.
No, I know that, but yeah, they'll put...
You know, we say, why would people even be here? Like, and they would buy those. That drove me nuts. It was like.
No, because they'll put all their big.
Saturday, you won't see on any other day.
Yeah, they'll put all their big guests on one day. So you're like, well, why do I go the other days? So, no, yeah. That's actually a conscious effort. I'll talk to some creators and they'll say, hey, look, man, I can't make Sunday, but I can make Friday and Saturday. Or vice versa. I got people saying, I might be able only to make Sunday. I can't do Friday and Saturday. I go, I don't care. Come on down. So now that gives you the opportunity to, like you said, like it's a different show. One of my favorite performers, not Harrison Ford, but Bruce Springsteen, would do a different set list every single night when the band would perform. So you could see him on Friday and then go see him on Saturday, and there'd be 75% new material because he wouldn't do the same show. And then Sunday would be another set. So you never knew what you were going to get. He'd do the core songs. But then he'd flip around his catalog, and you get, like, every night a new venue, a new...
Mitchie, speaking about performers, wasn't there a performance that you at the CT Gamercon that turned into a different type of performance? What happened there?
What are you talking about, Johnny?
Wasn't there, like, music at CT Gamercon?
Yeah, there was a couple bands there. We had live music. We had a DJ. We had... a band called RF Switch. We had a band called Super Thrash Brothers. We had an a cappella group called Pixelate that came down. We had a bunch of live music. I had a contest.
Now, explain something to me and for people who probably won't know listening to this. But, like, what is. Do they just play regular bands? Or
No. They play. Like, they're video game bands. And what that means is they play music.
Yeah, what is that? I don't
you know when you watch a TV show and they have a theme song and like here's the theme song to Star Wars or whatever, and same thing with video games. They all have video game themes, and these bands play the soundtracks from the video games.
Oh, to the video games?
Like, yes. It's kind of like listening to Grimlock, except if Grimlock was all synthesized music singing about Pac-Man.
Like, no, but the thing so these video game buffs, like video game fans, they know the music to like a bunch of video games,
yep.
And they play that, like, it could be Zelda, whatever it may be. And they play, like, the theme song?
Yes, you are correct. The a cappella group actually, without instruments, just using the sound of their voice, performed all the different songs to, like, Zelda, Kingdom Hearts, a bunch of different games, yeah. And then, you know how video games are a big deal? Like, I'm an old man, and I'm like, well, I'm trying to stay hip. I'll play the Lego video games. I'm actually fans of those Lego Star Wars and Lego Marvel superheroes, because I just like looking at all the characters, because they take their time, and they'll map out the entire New York, so you'll actually be able to go to Doctor Strange's house, the Daily Bugle, the Baxter Building. As a comic book nerd, I'm loving it. It's like a visual tour of the city that I imagined growing up. But on that same note, when it comes to video games and being old, look at Steven Spielberg. Right now, his movie, Ready Player One, is about to come out this week. And it's all about a kid who goes into a video game world, kind of like Tron. But that's it. All the other kids, they live inside this little Matrix world where they all fight with each other and they play different characters. The reason why I bring that up, I know the author, Ernie Klein, or he calls himself Ernest Klein when it's a big deal. But Ernie Klein is a friend of mine, and he wrote a movie called Fanboys, which was about a bunch of guys breaking their friend into Skywalker Ranch when they knew he had a life-threatening disease. He wasn't going to make it to see the premiere of Star Wars Episode One. So the whole movie's a road trip about how they take him across country, and then they break into George Lucas's house so his buddy could watch the big Star Wars movie that was coming out back in the day. And that same author went and made this book called Ready Player One, which is about video games. And lo and behold, I've known him since 2012, maybe? And now it's a Steven Spielberg movie this weekend. So what do you say about that, John? That's a pretty big deal, huh?
Well, yeah, Steven Spielberg. Well, sounds a little like Jumanji to me. Like, that new Jumanji was actually pretty good.
And that was a game, and they turned that into a video game. Yeah, I mean, you know.
No, but I'm just saying, like, Well, Steven Spielberg's all full of stuff. You know me. I mean, I'm, you know, my Harrison Ford, my Steven Spielberg, you know, I'm always a little shaky with those guys.
Well, what I was thinking about video games and comic books, because there's been some, wasn't there a Pac-Man comic book?
Yeah, there was a cartoon.
Oh, Sonic the Hedgehog, that's been Archie Comics, that's been running for like 15, 20 years, I think, that comic book. That's a big deal.
And then there's Sonic. Sonic was really big.
Yeah, no, but I think the comic, because I know Dan Parent used to work on that. He's an artist that's come to our show.
Of course. Yeah, he does it. Dan. And the funny thing is, like, let me tell you my problem with video games.
What?
My kryptonite is car sickness. Now, let me see what I mean by that is, when I'm driving in a car, I can't read. I can't put up the windows. I need a little bit of breeze. And if I do, I start getting these headaches or I feel nauseous. When I see people read, it just bothers me. So video games also bother me. Like, when you move and then the screen moves, or that first person thing, I cannot play because I can't watch it. It's almost like when you're watching a video, like somebody's recording it with the video camera and the camera's all shaky and stuff.
Yeah.
I automatically get headaches so quickly, and I start feeling nauseous that I can't do it. So video games always have that effect on me.
Well,
I need those scrolling ones from like the Nintendo. It's very not much movement.
Right. The side scroll. Well, I was just when I just mentioned that to you, I actually did a quick search. There's over 56 video games that have been turned into comic books or vice versa. Obviously, Batman is huge. There's a bunch of series, Batman Arkham Asylum, but when we were younger, do you remember Atari Force? That was a DC comic. Yeah. Paul Cooperberg wrote that.
Can I say something about Atari Force?
What?
Created by Jerry Conway and Roy Thomas.
Yeah. Was it really? Let me click on that. Yes, it was. Jerry Conway and Roy Thomas. Atari Force number one came out in 1982. I used to get these comic books. I didn't read it. Look, Ross Andrew, Gil Kane, Dick Giordano, and Mike DiCarlo were the artists on some of those. Son of a bitch. I have these.
Atari reminds me of Keith Gleason. I'll tell you, man. Now you're going to have to look to get those. That's
it only lasted 20 issues. Jerry Conway returned with Jose Luis Garcia Lopez, who comes to my show every year. And you know what? I remember these. Yar's Revenge, Tempest, Dynamite Entertainment reprinted the rest. Yeah, that's true. The last couple of years, I've seen these on the newsstands. Wow.
You can't tell me they didn't have a whole conglomerate of talent writing those things.
No. That's so funny I brought that up. But besides Atari Force, let me see what some of the other ones are. Batman, I mentioned. DC, Dungeon Siege. I don't know what that is. Freedom Force, Final Fight, Gears of War. Now, this, my son plays a bunch of these games. I see Call of Duty has a comic book, Gears of War.
Nick, I got to throw this out there. The difference between video games, like when we were young until like today, too, it's like today you have to finish the video game. When we were young, it went on forever.
Oh, yeah, there was no end to them. Once in a blue moon, they'd have a game that actually had a finale, you know?
Yeah, it was all about score.
High score, right.
That doesn't happen.
No, now they're all these epic adventures. You have to finish this story. That's what it's about, you know?
And it just got harder and harder and harder. Like, remember Space Invaders?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, it kept getting faster, you know? Kept getting faster.
Well, let me ask you this at CT GamerCon. Do they even have an old school, like somebody like me?
Yes.
I would walk in there and I'd be like,
yep.
I don't like these new video games.
No, we have old Nintendos, old Colecos set up, old Ataris, old stuff.
Did you really?
Yes. There were tons of that.
I go there to show my, but like I said, the video games is not a big deal for me, but maybe the old school games, who knows, maybe next year, Mitch.
Yeah, it was definitely, and there were guys, so some of those old video games are just as valuable as old comic books, man. I was like, I had that. Go for hundreds of dollars.
I agree. Some are really.
There's some bizarre Atari Olympics video game cartridge that sells for like $10,000.
I wouldn't doubt it. I know there's a lot of freaks out there for that, and I know collectors. It's a great. I mean, like they have all the systems in their house. Like,
Yeah. I have in this house a Sega Genesis that's mine that I bought in like '90, and then we have.
you said that because I still have my Sega
Genesis. I have my Sega Genesis. I told you about the game Streets of Rage 2 that almost caused me to have a divorce before I got married, right?
No.
My friend Rob came into town, and he was one of my groomsmen, and I was getting married on a Friday night, and it was Thursday. And, you know, what do you want to do? He's like, I don't know. So I said, I got this video game, because he's a nerd like us. And he goes, sure, I'll play with you. So we started playing this game called Streets of Rage 2, which was a side-scrolling video game where you were two guys and you just beat up everybody, like the Teenage Turtles. You know, all the villains came at you, and you hit them with crowbars and bats and shit. So
I think I remember that.
But every level had a boss, you know, at the end there'd be this big guy and you had to defeat him and stuff, and it kept getting harder and harder and more people would come at you, like ninjas and karate guys and kung fu people and, you know, all this stuff. So we started playing this game around 7 or 8 o'clock at night, and it ends eventually because you're going to try to get the kingpin of crime. You're trying to find the big boss, and next thing you know, the sun is starting to come up. You can see it getting brighter outside, and you realize you haven't gone to bed, and you've been up since 7 o'clock playing this dumb video game. And I got to get married the next day. And I'm like, oh, my God, what did I do?
Wait, is this you saying the freaking truth?
Yeah, no, this is God's honest truth. And what happened is you can't go to bed now because you're almost at the end. You know what I mean? You can't stop. And he's going to be in town for only a couple of days, then he's going to go back to California. So I said, we're not stopping. We're going to keep going. So it gets to the end of the game, and the kingpin of crime has both of us, and you defeat all his warriors. You're like in the octagon, like the battle of the death. And he says to the player one, he goes, you have defeated my armies of bad guys. Will you join my crime syndicate, or will you still oppose me? Yes or no? And my buddy hits no. He goes, I will not join you. I will defeat you. And then the guy goes, let me ask your partner. And he turns to me and he says, will you join my syndicate of crime or will you continue to fight against me? And you know what I said? Yes, I will join your crime. Oh, my God. My friend almost beat the shit out of me. He goes, are you kidding me? We've been playing this thing for like 10 hours and you're joining up with the crime syndicate? I go, yeah, I want to see what happens. Well, what happens is the guy goes, now you two must fight each other to the death. So we had to go at each other. And my buddy's hitting those buttons and hitting my head over with a crowbar or a bat with a nail in it, going, you stupid son of a bitch. How dare you? We could have won this game. So he killed my guy. So now he's all alone against the syndicate of crime's worst villains. And he's like, ha, you have defeated my other warrior. Now you must fight my people. He got killed so bad. But maybe if I was with him, we would have won. To this day, I've been married 25 years this June. He still calls every year and says, remember when we played Streets of Rage 2 and you turned against me at the last minute and joined the dark side? I go, yeah. So that's a true story.
My God.
But that's how addictive video games were. But let me go back to seeing some of these video games here that had comic books.
I'm going to tell you, I used to play when I had the Sega Genesis, which I think was the Nintendo.
Yeah.
But my favorite game ever there was, and our buddy Joey Caramagna can agree with this because we talk about it all the time, NHL PA 94.
Oh, no. Not that hockey game.
Yes, it was so good, and literally, the fighting, it was bloody. It was actually in those Kevin Smith movies. Remember the...
Yeah. It was in the beginning of Mallrats. Yeah. Mallrats.
They're playing. What's the word? But they're playing the video games. Anyways, but that was a big game. I love that game.
No, I remember that game. And then... after Nintendo, I'm trying to think what other one I had. No, I'm saying after... Sega. I didn't buy video games for a long time. So then my kids were born, and then we got them the Wii because they liked, you know, the Super Mario. Remember that was a big deal? You could stand there and you could swing your hand around and, you know, pretend to hit a ball.
I got my daughter. I have the, what is it, the
PlayStation?
No.
Xbox?
Yes, I have the Xbox 360. We haven't upgraded because she still plays. She's not crazy about video games. She doesn't do that much.
Yeah, yeah.
But she'll play a couple of those games. You know what she likes to play? Marvel Alliance. Do you ever play those
Marvel I played games? Marvel Alliance 1. I loved it. My kids played it, and I was... Oh, that went through the entire Marvel universe, that game.
Right. So basically what I do for her is I give her, like, the invincibility. Like, yeah. I put in the little code for the invincibility.
Yep.
And she'll make her team, and she'll just keep playing it for hours, and she'll, like, go through it.
Yeah.
Like, it's just to kind of experience it. And then she gets tired, and then she stops. But she still likes to play those games.
No, the Lego Marvel one's really good. I play that one. I went on and on. You could be the Silver Surfer. You could be everybody. It's kind of fun.
Right. I have both of them. But what's cool about that is, like you said, you're going through, like, the entire comic book universe, and that's what makes it fun.
Well, let's see. Some of the other video games, real quick. Mega Man. I don't know what that is. Modern Warfare. Mortal Kombat. Nintendo. Pocket God. My son used to read that.
Rampage coming up, that movie with...
Rampage is coming out with the Rock. That was based on a video game with the big gorilla thing. The big King Kong fighting a building.
The gorilla I think, like, a dragon type of guy.
Yep. Well, Tomb Raider opened up. That was, like, the third time they made that movie, but the girl that's, like, the Indiana Jones girl that came out.
I heard that was a disaster.
Those movies never do well. Street Fighter. Remember Street Fighter?
Oh, my God. With Jean-Claude Van Damme?
Yep. They had that. Well, they've made that a couple times, too. What?
I do remember the arcade game in the...
I remember which one they used to play. Marvel versus Capcom. I used to play that. You'd be like the Magneto or Colossus or the Hulk fighting these other characters.
Not to do a rant right now on that game. The reason why I will always hate Capcom and Marvel versus Capcom, because the very first superhero one they made, remember that? You could be Hulk, Spider-Man, Juggernaut, and that was huge.
Yeah.
But They did something wrong in that game.
They turned Magneto's costume the wrong color?
Oh, no, they made Juggernaut bigger than the Hulk and stronger and better than the Hulk in that game, and I have no idea why. Until this day, I still have to defend that the Hulk is bigger than Juggernaut, but that game ruined my life. I hate them. I hate Capcom. I hate Marvel vs. whatever. I'll never support it. That's my rant.
Got to get over that. Well, they had one the last couple years called Injustice, where it was like Superman went nuts. He kills the Joker.
The thing is, Capcom did the Marvel stuff, but whoever made Mortal Kombat and stuff, they made the DC stuff. I don't know if you remember that. Yeah. And then it kind of morphed into Injustice and all that stuff. But it's not the real guys. Isn't that like evil versions of them?
Yeah, it's like the alternate world where they're all the bad guys. I'll tell you one thing.
I don't subscribe to that. I want Superman. I want Batman.
Did you ever play some of the Atari superhero games? Do you remember Spider-Man and Superman?
Yeah, I had them.
How bad were those games?
Spider-Man, you want to know how bad they were? They made an Incredible Hulk that never got released.
I just remember Spider-Man going up that building fighting the Green Goblin. He was throwing pumpkins at you. They looked nothing like Spider-Man.
And it was a great commercial, too. But let me throw you a piece of memorabilia here. I actually have, and it's worth a lot of money. When we're talking about when they were making that Spider-Man game, I don't know if you remember, like at a Radio Shack or whatever, they would have displays of games that were coming up, like, you know, that summer and all that.
Yeah.
I actually have the Incredible Hulk box of the arcade, of the Atari game that was supposed to come out, but it was just a box, a display box, and that they put it on the wall. I don't know if that can ever be found again. And I paid $450.
You're crazy.
We're talking about almost 20 years ago I paid that. I wonder how much that thing is worth now. It's the actual Atari display box of the Hulk video game. I'd say that's $1,000 easy that would have came out, but it never got released because the Spider-Man game did so bad and eventually it phased out. So they didn't release the Hulk video game. I actually have that. But boom. That's pretty cool.
Well, I was just looking. I did have one called The Incredible Hulk Ultimate Destruction, where you went around and you just basically destroyed stuff. That was a fun game.
That was fun. But That was actually a real... Yeah. I actually had that. I couldn't ever play it because, like, the motion sickness...
I remember my kids. It was great. Just smashed. Hulk smashed.
Yeah. And then they made it again, and it was based off the movie, and it was just horrible.
Oh, yeah. Eric Bana did the voices. It was bad.
Funny you said that, Mitch. That they consider that Hulk Ultimate Destruction the greatest Incredible Hulk video game.
Oh, I believe it. I'm looking right now. There was a Hulk game for the Sega Saturn. I never got that. I didn't have
Sega.
And
they even had one for the Sega Genesis that wasn't that bad.
I'm looking at all the Hulk games now. I'm trying to find out which one you were talking about.
Yeah, it's the Hulk Atari 2600.
All right, I'm going to look and see if I can find the Atari Hulk Atari.
Yeah, it never came.
Remember the Superman one? He was like this little thing. Oh, there's the box. Parker Brothers made it.
Yes,
Parker. The Incredible Hulk. He's fighting like a silver robot. Yeah. I never saw this.
I have that box, that actual display box. I have it to this day. Even when I sold off my collection way back when.
Okay. Oh, 1983.
Yep.
Joystick, two players. There was a comic book. Oh, here's the ads for it. Look at this. Here's the back of it. And there's a guy who actually has it. There's a video of him. Oh, it won't work. Wait, it's working. Oh, what is this all about?
You're talking about Quest Probe. Are you doing Quest Probe?
I don't know. There's this guy named John McGinnis, and he's standing there, and he's got a little TV set, and apparently he owns this Hulk game, and he's going to try to play it.
I think that... What is that for?
This is the Incredible... It was built for the Atari 2600, and there's this weird-looking dude with glasses... And he's talking about the story of what happened to the Hulk game. It's online. I'm looking at it. What?
So he's talking about the Atari game?
Yeah. Yeah.
Get the hell out of here. Let's see, this is a mystery. Where are you finding that?
I just typed it in, and I hit visit, and there's a guy here who he's talking about. Let me read this. Let me go. People, just talk amongst yourself right now. All right, look. Although the prototype of this game is still not found, a promo box does exist. The cartridge, the Incredible Hulk, the scans, it's on something called AtariMania.com. The Lost Levels, the Incredible Hulk game by the 2600. Somebody has one, apparently.
No. I have the box.
No, it says it was canceled. 1983, Parker Brothers created several games for Atari 2600, including the Incredible Hulk. Not much is known about the gameplay, save for a few screenshots that were released in magazine ads. This was the age of the infamous... This came out of the infamous video game crash of 1983 after the disastrous E.T. game. In 2001, a promo box was bought and scanned online, suggesting that the game's prototype might indeed exist somewhere. It's the lost game.
Okay, I'm the guy that bought the box.
You're nuts.
I swear to you, I'm that guy. I have it, Mitch.
I'm looking at one of the boxes. It says, in this game, you're Bruce Banner, alias the Incredible Hulk. Bizarre city creatures have captured his girlfriend, Betty, and you must rescue her. Dash through a maze of ever-moving streets and buildings in this unique tri-level metropolis. Climb ropes or jump down open manholes to reach different levels. Pick up gamma charges along the way and become the Incredible Hulk whenever the city creatures attack. Save Betty and find the antidote that will rid Bruce Banner of this terrible curse before it's too late. 1 to 2 players. Yep, I'm looking right at it. That's the back of the box.
You know where I first saw it was, I don't know if you remember, when we used to get the Sears catalog?
Yeah, of course, yeah.
When they would show the video games, they would show a screenshot of the video game, and then they would say, and I remember it said The Incredible Hulk, and I remember that there's these gamer charges that kind of go across the screen, because I remember that picture, and I was, as a kid, I mean, you got to remember, I was so young, but oh my God, there's a Hulk video game? That blew my mind, but it never came out. I am the guy that owns that box because I bought it online in the 90s, Mitch. That's me.
Well, that's what it says. It was, yeah.
Oh my God. So
Wait a minute. In 2001, a mock-up box of the Incredible Hulk for the 2600 appeared on eBay where it was snatched up by a Hulk collector. Is that you? The box itself offers no additional clues behind the mystery of the game, though its very existence is strong evidence that the game had at least been in development at one point. It is very unlikely that Parker Brothers would go through the trouble of advertising a game in various media without producing a prototype without the actual game. Yeah, by my guess...
Me.
Huh?
That's me, yeah. I'm the guy who...
You're mentioning this thing. It says somebody will have it someday. Unfortunately, wishing for the game to exist will not make it happen.
Where is that? What link is that?
It's on something called thelostlevels.org.
Yeah, they're talking about me. I swear. And listen, and I was battling for it on eBay with this guy called, his name was called Gamma Glory or something. And he was from California, and he was another big
homie. Well, you're nuts. You're the guy then that owns this prototype box.
Yeah, we're fighting back and forth for it. And I ended up beating him, and I paid like $450. And he called me on the phone, and he said, "Why?" Oh, he goes, "I'm sorry, John." He goes, "But I really wanted that box." And I said, "I know, but so did I, because you never saw it. I am the owner of that box. I am the guy." Damn it, what? Tell me where you can find that. That is hilarious.
Yeah, you're famous.
No, but what is it? What is the,
Then there's another game in 1984 called Quest Probe, featuring the Hulk.
Yeah, that I have. That came later.
Came by Acorn Electron. Atari 8-bit, BBC Micro, Commodore 64, blah, blah, blah.
Right, I had that. And they made comic books.
I'm looking at the comic books. The one I was just telling you about was on a website called Atari Mania, and then there was one called LostLevels.org, and that talks about some freak that bought it. That's you.
I swear to God, I had it. This is a great thing. LostLevels.com?
Yeah. There's the picture of the box. Is this the box you have?
Yeah.
It's a silver box.
Lost Levels.
Somebody has photos of it. And they put, "Is this for real?" And some guy took a photo. "Hello. I am a new arrived. Hope that someone might help me. I found this video game for 20 years. Somebody says they own it. The dealer told me this was a promotional copy." Somebody has thumbnails up there.
Unfortunately, there's, like I said, there's... See, I'm looking online right now. There's two boxes. The one that he's punching...
No, somebody said this was a fake.
Yes, it's not that one. I have the real one. The one that he's punching, the robot, was the prototype box. It was on an ad, but they never used that box. The one that's the Hulk, it's just the Hulk breaking out of the thing. That's the that was the box that they were going to use.
Yeah, this guy bought this in Italy. Somebody said, "That's a fake. That's not the real one."
Yeah, I know. I can agree with you there. I have that. Mitch, it's not LostLevels.com. Are you sure?
I'm looking. No, LostLevels.org. O-R-G.
LostLevels.org. You know what? I bought it, and Mitch, we discovered something here, because, like, it's funny. I got it, and I never heard from it again, and it was over. And now all of a sudden, there was something written on the legend of that.
Yeah, you are the Indiana Jones when it comes to the Lost Levels here. I'm sending you the link. I'm sure people out there listening today to the Power Cosmic Podcast are bored shitless right now.
No, come on.
This is what we do all day. If people go, "What the fuck? What do you guys do all day?" This is basically it. Sad. Sad, but true.
Yeah, but it's kind of cool how that legend of that...
I thought you were kidding me when we started talking. I'm like, what are you talking about?
Again, I'm the guy that won that.
Well, I just sent you the link. Anyway, what other things are there about video games? Do people come to the booth and sell you old video games? Is anything worth anything? Is any Pac-Man Fever collectibles?
Oh my God, yeah, there's a lot of those things. There were the cards and all that. I mean, you got to remember how crazy Pac-Man was. But let me ask you this. Do people, when they come to CT Game at CAD, do they come to buy, sell, and trade video games?
They do. I saw that happening too.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy like that. You know, we're so, I'm not like into that, but it's like, the community is strong in that, and it's bigger. Is it bigger than the comic community?
Yes, I believe sales wise it is. Yeah, I don't want to count movies, but comic book. By the way, speaking of cosplay and weird things, did you see there's another anti Mitch out there? He was at the Gem City Comic Con this weekend.
Yeah, Mitch. I mean, I'll tell you something. It's not good. It's not a good
thing. Something's happening. There's a lot of Mitch duplicates out there.
Yeah, yeah, but that's not a good thing in the genre that we're in, because it shows you're a funny-looking dude, because there's also a bunch of Keith stuntmen out there.
Well,
like Keith Gleason stuntmen.
Oh, Keith Gleason, absolutely. Yeah, I've seen a lot of them. Here's where I just got a friend request from our old friend Elaine Atkins Manley. Interesting. Just popped up. Are you friends with her?
Yes, I am.
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually looking at the Hulk, the little Hulk thing that you found. That, my God, my legend is on the Hulk.
So should I? So right now, I'm live on there. So should I friend Elaine Atkins?
Wait, can she help us out? I think Midnight, those guys.
Double Midnight,
Double Midnight are dead. So. I don't think she's competition or anything.
I think it's funny some of the, I have about 200, I stopped taking friend requests, so, because I get too many of them. A lot of freakish people sending me friend requests. When you're the king of the nerds and the king of the comic book conventions around here, and gamer cons, you get a lot of people want to be your friend. I don't know. Most people I do, but most people I don't. I don't know. Let's look at this person. She seems very nice. But I don't judge my friends based on looks, but that's interesting. Kind of creeping me out here. Anyway, I'm going to start friending more of these cosplayers that have the Patreon accounts.
Yeah, but hey, Mitch,
don't go down that road. What?
Well, let's but in ending this.
Oh, are we ending this? Because this is just a quiet ramble. We really didn't learn much about video games today, did we?
No, with our CT GamerCon
review. Yes.
Wrap up. But let me say, I'm glad, I'm happy for you that the CT is a success, as we should know, that, you know, you got to promote that stuff, and you tend to be for the fans, so that's why it did, they do well, and I'm glad it went well, better than last year. Maybe I support you next year, maybe. But I'm glad it did good, and here's to more. CT
Yeah, there's more CT GamerCons in the future. Here's the other thing, too. Now I've got to go back to work full-time on TerrificCon, Connecticut's Terrific Comic Con.
Right. So that's a
That's the one I really love. That's my number one kid. That's my favorite. That's Mitch, Daddy's
let
favorite.
Let me throw this out there. People don't realize that Mitch calls me up late at night saying, I don't even know why I'm putting on this game.
Hey, dude, I have those moments of doubt. Like, Jesus.
I hate video games, like all this stuff.
Yeah, I start rambling, yeah.
But you did well, Mitchy. So in wrapping up, what do we say?
And game over?
Oh, that's that.
And that's that.
This has been a production of Big Fedora Marketing, LLC, the folks that bring you the Terrific Comic-Con, GamerCon, and so much more. Thanks for listening.